This interview is for information only and should not be considered as investment advice or a recommendation to buy shares in the company featured. Welcome to this Stockbox interview. On Stockbox today, I'm joined by George Stapleton, the Chief Operating Officer of Petrotech Energy, which is listed on the TSX and the OTC. So, hello, George. Welcome. How are you?
Good afternoon, Mark. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for joining us. It's the first time that we're speaking, but it's very good to have you here on Stockbox. So, the first question that I'd like to put to you is regarding the unsolicited offer that you've had from a Swedish agent acting for an undisclosed third party. Can I ask, what's the company's view on this?
To be honest, we haven't been able to gather a whole lot of information. We first learned of the offer from some of our European shareholders around the 20th, 21st of May. I believe the offer may have been posted in Germany prior to that. At the time that we learned of the offer, we sent them via counsel an email asking for more information, which frankly has not been forthcoming. They indicated that that they were acting on behalf of an unidentified third party, and that they would issue a press release at some point in the future, which I believe they did this morning, actually. There was a press release this morning that basically just restates the offer that was posted in Germany of the desire to buy 200 million shares at 0.48 euros per share. Mm-hmm. Subject to their terms and conditions, looking to close the offer by the 30th of June. They indicated also that once they reached the reporting requirement for North America, they would make the required filings. This again is if you will, something that was issued today. Our last press release on the topic, we indicated that we had not been able to get any additional information other than what had been posted on the Bundesanzeiger, if I pronounce that right. We're not able to comment on the legitimacy of the offer and whether or not it complies with applicable law. But again, okay. As they said, they would issue a press release when they were ready. According to our counsel, it doesn't appear that the offeror intends to extend the offer to the company's shareholders in the United States or Canada at this time. Mm-hmm. And all we can do is ask that shareholders looking at the offer do their own due diligence, because we really have nothing that we can offer on the topic.
Okay. So you're not able to comment whether it's a genuine offer or not, and you've so far not really had any dialogue with them?
That is correct.
Okay.
We've had no dialogue with them other than an exchange of emails where very little information was forthcoming, no more than what's been in the announcement, actually.
Okay.
And that's all we know at this time.
Okay. Now, I believe that you stated that you feel that the offer has undervalued the company. What basis have you come to that conclusion on?
Well, it really depends on whether you're looking forward or where the company is today. The Utah tar sands have been around for many years, and there's been no way to produce them commercially. The clean oil recovery technology of Petrotech seems to be, or is, a means of producing that those resources commercially. There's there's somewhere between 15 and 25 billion barrels of tar sands in Utah that until now have not been commercially producible. So, you know, if you think, and I would hate to compare us to George Mitchell, who was a pioneer in the oil and gas industry, but Mitchell Energy was a little known company until he, after 10 years, was able to commercialize fracking. And ultimately, Mitchell was acquired by Devon in 2002 for $3.5 billion. So opening up a new production area, like the Barnett Shale was done by Mitchell Energy, there is significant upside if you have a means of producing the petroleum commercially and economically. And in today's world, of course, with a green technology, ours is a closed loop technology, no tailings. So we do believe that we have a slightly better mousetrap and probably the only one that works for mined tar sands in Utah.
Okay. Now, just looking at the company then and the project that you have, I understand that the focus is on oil, but the sand is also very valuable. Can you explain a little more?
Yes, the basically the bitumen is in a sand layer. Once we extract the bitumen from the sand, which we do with a closed loop system using a solvent, we end up with our two outputs being bitumen and a cleaned sand. Mm-hmm. We sent the sand away for testing, and it's come back that roughly 70% of the sand falls within the 40 to 140 mesh range, which are ideal sizes for fracking. And furthermore, the sand has a crush strength in excess of 7,000 PSI. So very high crush strength, good grain size, good grain shape, if you will, and suitable for use as a frac sand. We sent it to a lab in Austin, Texas that specializes in that side of the industry. And they came back in both instances. We sent two samples, one from the Temple Mountain ore and one from the offsite ore that we've been processing. Both came back as suitable for frac sand use. So that is a potential way to reduce operating costs or generate additional revenue through the sale of that sand. It also has use as potential use as an aggregate in cement and or concrete. Mm-hmm. So there is a use for the sand.
Okay. So you mentioned there, yeah, use both in fracking and in aggregate for construction, so construction sand. Can you give us a feel for the current pricing differentials on both of these?
Frack sand right now, and fracking is down quite a bit, but it goes for probably somewhere between $40 to $60 a ton. Construction sand, probably closer to $12 to $15 a ton. We produce roughly 1.5 tons of sand per barrel of oil produced. So construction sand at 12 to 15, say you're looking at a sales value of some, again, if you can sell it regionally, of somewhere around $12 to $15 per barrel. The frac sand, we're working with a local drilling fluids company as they have the contacts and the way to distribute within the area, say Wyoming, Colorado, and so forth. So we'll end up sharing the upside in that sand, but I would expect that we would ultimately end up receiving somewhere on the order of $15 to $20 per ton on that sand, which again would be something on the order of $20 to $30 per barrel of bitumen produced.
Okay.
So you can see that it would be a significant offset to the cost of production.
And what then, George, do you think is the likely price that you would get for the oil?
The oil in Utah is unique in that although it's a heavy oil, it has very low sulfur. So in effect, you have a heavy, sweet oil. The sulfur content is less than, it's 0.2 to 0.4% as compared to 3.5 to 5%. Typically in heavy oil, like you find in Canada or Venezuela. Because the sulfur content is quite low, it makes the oil a very attractive addition to a refining slate. Typically, we receive a price, a very slight discount to WTI. So with West Texas Intermediate currently at $68 a barrel, we would expect to receive somewhere north of 60, probably closer to $65 a barrel for the oil that we produce. The process is producing the oil with very low BS&W. And as I said, it's a sweet crude, which is unique in the heavy oil world, if you will, for it to have such a low sulfur content.
And just on the distribution and looking at both the sand and the oil, what is the route to market? Do you plan to sell directly or via an offtake partner?
Right now, for the oil, we basically have a number of potential buyers in the area. Historically, we've sold the oil to a refinery in Nevada. It's a small refinery in Nevada that manufactures diesel and asphalt. But Salt Lake City has, I think it's five refineries totaling 200,000 barrels per day of refining capacity. Once we get to the position of having consistent production, we'll be able to look further afield to Salt Lake City and possibly beyond for buyers for the oil. Because historically we've produced in fits and starts, we've pretty much had to sell on the spot market. So we will be looking to firm up the distribution channels for the produced oil, particularly once the first 5,000 barrel per day commercial plant is built. Likewise, on the sand, we will probably continue to work through the drilling fluids company because they have facilities for cleaning, sorting the sand, and delivering the sand, something that we would have to add were we to try to market it directly ourselves.
Okay. Okay. And how big is the local market for your sand and oil? So if you do build this large commercial plant in the next year, can the market take it?
Well, as I said, Salt Lake City refineries have 200,000 barrels per day of refining capacity. I'm not saying they would only refine our oil, but at 5,000 barrels per day, that would be less than 0.5% of their refining capacity. Mm-hmm. Well, not 0.5%, 2.5%, I should say. Mental math here. Mm-hmm. With respect to the sand, in 2018, the U.S. Frac market consumed right at 70 million tons of sand. A typical well uses roughly a ton of sand per lateral foot, and horizontal wells in the shale plays right now tend to run 8,000 feet, so 8,000 tons per well. A 5,000 barrel per day plant will produce roughly roughly 7,000 tons of sand per day. Mm-hmm. That will then need to be sorted. You probably end up with 5,500 tons of frac sand from that 7,000 tons of total sand. So less than one well's worth of sand per day. Again, it'll be dependent upon how active the fracking market is. Things may change a bit with the current administration, we'll see. But certainly there's a construction market as well, and the value received for the sand is still a significant offset to the cost of production.
Okay, okay. Now, I believe the company in the past has stated its plans to scale up operations, including multiple plants via joint venture partners. Can you expand on this and perhaps give an idea of the roadmap?
Yes, we've, to be frank, right now, Petrotech is working together with Valcor Energy and Tomco of the UK. Had they not, Valcor has been a technical partner that has basically helped with the redesign of the demonstration plant, the feed for the 5,000 barrel per day plant that they're looking at possibly developing together with Tomco under their joint venture Greenfield. And the monies that they have contributed to the upgrade via the license fee and so forth, without that, we probably, we would have been in a tough spot to get the demonstration plant modified to where it was reliable and running consistently. So we do have a, if you will, a loose partnership with Valcor and Tomco Greenfield as well. And the technology is licensable to other third parties potentially. The license fee for the technology was $2 million, which has been used to upgrade the plant. Tomco and Valcor have contributed additional monies to get the plant up and running, which will be repaid from production. A third party coming in would be expected to pay the same license fee. Because of the advance of the fee, Tomco Greenfield actually has a right to use the technology in multiple plants. And we would hope that they would build multiple plants. So they will get tremendous bang for the buck on that $2 million contribution towards the license. They also, there is also a 5% royalty on production using the clean oil recovery technology. So PetroTech will benefit from each and every plant that gets built, and PetroTech will likely build its own plants as well, subject to financing. So Valcor has recently leased upwards of about 16,000 acres of oil sands leases in the Asphalt Ridge area. So they're positioning themselves, and we would hope to work with them to develop some of those leases with additional plants. A plant, one of the highest costs of production is, in fact, the transport of mined ore to the plant. So you would plants really need to be located within a reserve base of about, with a reserve base of about 35 million barrels of reserves in the ground, mineable reserves. A 5,000 barrel per day plant can run for 20 years. And obviously, when you start talking mineable reserves in Asphalt Ridge are probably on the order of 1.5 billion barrels. So there is the potential for multiple plants in the area. Some developed directly by PetroTech, some developed by Greenfield, Tomco, and Valcor together, and potentially some by third parties.
Okay. So a significant opportunity, it sounds like. I wonder if I can ask you a final question, and it's just on when in the past the company has commented on a listing on the NASDAQ, and I understand you were partway through this process. What's the current status on the potential NASDAQ listing?
The application, as I understand it, and I've come late to the company. I only joined PetroTech last year. Mm-hmm. They applied in 2018 for a NASDAQ listing and received conditional approval. Which would have required a reverse split at the time. I believe, if I understand it correctly, the paperwork was filed for Canada, but not filed for the US at that time. So it did not come to be. Mm-hmm. We would certainly reconsider, when conditions are right, listing on the NASDAQ. For the moment, there are no immediate plans to do so, but we would hope to do so at some point in the future.
Okay. Well, George Stapleton there, the Chief Operating Officer of PetroTech Energy. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your time, Mark. I appreciate the effort there.
Thank you for listening to this Stockbox interview. For more information, interviews and videos, visit our website at stockboxmedia.com or give us a follow on Twitter by searching at Stockbox Media.